Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the Internet Society for Krishna Consciousness. And today we're reading from chapter 13. It's called Nature, the Enjoyer and Consciousness. And I will continue to read from text 8 till 12. And I'll just go straight to the translation and then to the purport. Well, I can just read quickly the Sanskrit, just once. Amanitvam adam bitvam ahingsakshantir aryavan acharyopasanam socham steryam atma vinigraha indriyartesu vairagyam anahankara evacha janma mrityu jaravyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam asaktirana bishvanga putra dara griyadishu nityang cha samachittatvam istanisto papatishu mayi chananyaya yogena bhaktir avyabicharini vivikta desha sevidvang aratir jana sangsadi adhyatma jnana nityatvang tatva jnanartha darshanam etat jnanam iti proktam agyanam yat ato nyata. Translation: humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be, is ignorance. Purport. This process of knowledge is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men as being the interaction of the field of activity. But actually, this is the real process of knowledge. If one accepts this process, then the possibility of approaching the absolute truth exists. This is not the interaction of the 24 elements as described before. This is actually the means to get out of the entanglement of those elements. The embodied soul is entrapped by the body, which is a casing made of the 24 elements, and the process of knowledge as described here is the means to get out of it. Of all the descriptions of the process of knowledge, the most important point is described in the first line of the 11th verse. Mayi chananya yogena bhaktir avyabicharini. The process of knowledge terminates in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. So, if one does not approach or is not able to approach the transcendental service of the Lord, then the other 19 items are of no particular value. But if one takes the devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, the other 19 items automatically develop within him. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, Yashyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana Sarvairganastatra Samasate Suraha. All the good qualities of knowledge develop in one who has attained the stage of devotional service. The principle of accepting a spiritual master, as mentioned in the 8th verse, is essential, even for one who takes the devotional service. It is the most important. Transcendental life begins when one accepts a bona fide spiritual master. Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna clearly states here that this process of knowledge is the actual path. Anything speculated beyond this is nonsense. As for the knowledge outlined here, the items may be analyzed as follows. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. Material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others. But from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge, who knows that he is not this body, anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless. One should not be hankering after this material deception. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion, and consequently sometimes it is found that without the understanding the principles of religion, one enters into some group which is not actually following religious principles, and then wants to advertise himself as a religious mentor. As for actually advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. Non-violence is generally taken to mean not killing or destroying the body. But actually, non-violence means not to put others into distress. People in general are trapped by ignorance in the material concept of life, and they perpetually suffer material pains. So, unless one elevates people to spiritual knowledge, one is practicing violence. One should try his best to distribute real knowledge to the people, so that they may become enlightened and leave this material entanglement. That is non-violence. Tolerance means that one should be practiced to bear insult and dishonor from others. If one is engaged in the advancement of spiritual knowledge, there will be so many insults and much dishonor from others. This is expected because material nature is so constituted. Even a boy like Prahlad, who, only 5 years old, was engaged in the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, was endangered when his father became antagonistic to his devotion. The father tried to kill him in so many ways, but Prahlad tolerated him. So there may be many impediments to making advancement in spiritual knowledge, but we should be tolerant and continue our progress with determination. Simplicity means that without diplomacy, one should be so straightforward that he can disclose the real truth even to an enemy. As for acceptance of the spiritual master, that is essential. Because without the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot progress in the spiritual science. One should approach the spiritual master with all humility and offer him all services, so that he will be pleased to bestow his blessings upon the disciple. Because a bona fide spiritual master is a representative of Krishna, if he bestows any blessings upon his disciple, that will make the disciple immediately advanced without the disciples following the regulative principles. Hare Krishna.
From who is this? Oh, thank you. I'm blessed.
I'll read that again. That was very interesting. Because a bona fide spiritual master is a representative of Krishna, if he bestows any blessings upon his disciple, that will make the disciple immediately advanced without the disciples following the regulative principles. Or the regulative principles will be easier for one who has served the spiritual master without reservation. Cleanliness is essential for making advancement in spiritual life. There are two kinds of cleanliness, external and internal. External cleanliness means taking a bath. But for internal cleanliness, one has to think of Krishna always and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This process cleans the accumulated dust of past karma from the mind. Steadiness means that one should be very determined to make progress in spiritual life. Without such determination, one cannot make tangible progress. And self-control means that one should not accept anything which is detrimental to the path of spiritual progress. One should become accustomed to this and reject anything which is against the path of spiritual progress. This is real renunciation. The senses are so strong that they are always anxious to have sense gratification. One should not cater to these demands, which are not necessary. The senses should only be gratified to keep the body fit, so that one can discharge his duty in advancing in spiritual life. The most important and most uncontrollable sense is the tongue. If one can control the tongue, then there is every possibility of controlling the other senses. The function of the tongue is to taste and to vibrate. Therefore, by systematic regulation, the tongue should always be engaged in tasting the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. As far as the eyes are concerned, they should not be allowed to see anything but the beautiful form of Krishna. That will control the eyes. Similarly, the ears should be engaged in hearing about Krishna, and the nose in smelling the flowers offered to Krishna. This is the process of devotional service, and it is understood here that Bhagavad Gita is simply expounding the science of devotional service. Devotional service is the main and sole objective. Unintelligent commentators on the Bhagavad Gita try to divert the mind of the reader to other subjects, but there is no other subject in Bhagavad Gita than devotional service. False ego means accepting this body as oneself. I'll read it one more time. False ego means accepting this body as oneself. When one understands that he is not his body and his spirit soul, he comes to his real ego. Ego is there. False ego is condemned, but not real ego. In the Vedic literature, Brihat Aranyaka Upanishad 1.4.10, it is said, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, I am spirit. This I am, the sense of self, also exists in the liberated states of self-realization. This sense of I am is ego. But when the sense of I am is applied to this false body, it is false ego. When the sense of self is applied to reality, that is real ego. There are some philosophers who say we should give up our ego, but we cannot give up our ego, because ego means identity. We ought, of course, to give up the false identification with the body. One should try to understand the distress of accepting birth, death, old age, and disease. There are descriptions in various Vedic literatures of birth in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the world of the unborn, the child's stay in the womb of the mother, its suffering, etc., are all very graphically described. It should be thoroughly understood that birth is distressful, because we forget how much distress we have suffered within the womb of the mother. We do not make any solution to the repetition of birth and death. Similarly, at the time of death, there are all kinds of sufferings, and they are also mentioned in the authoritative scriptures. These should be discussed. And as far as disease and old age are concerned, everyone gets practical experience. No one wants to be diseased, and no one wants to become old. But there is no avoiding these. Unless we have a pessimistic view of this material life, considering the distresses of birth, death, old age, and disease, there is no impetus for our making advancement in spiritual life. As for detachment from children, wife, and home, it is not meant that one should have no feeling for these. They are natural objects of affection. But when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. The best process for making the home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy, because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. One need only chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna, have some discussion on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and engage oneself in deity worship. These four things will make one happy. One should train the members of his family in this way. The family members can sit down morning and evening and chant together Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If one can mold his family life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness following these four principles, then there is no need to change from family life to renounced life. But if it is not congenial, not favorable for spiritual advancement, then family life should be abandoned. One must sacrifice everything to realize or serve Krishna. Just as Arjuna did not want to kill his family members, but when he understood that these family members were impediments to his Krishna realization, he accepted the instruction of Krishna. And fought and killed them. In all cases, one should be detached from the happiness and distress of family life, because in this world one can never be fully happy or fully miserable. Happiness and distress are concomitant factors of material life. One should learn to tolerate as advised in Bhagavad Gita. One can never restrict the coming and going of happiness and distress, so one should be detached from the materialistic way of life and be automatically equipoised in both cases. Generally, when we get something desirable, we are very happy. And when we get something undesirable, we are distressed. But if we are actually in the spiritual position, these things will not agitate us. To reach that stage, we have to practice unbreakable devotional service. Devotional service is to Krishna, without deviation, means engaging oneself in the nine processes of devotional service: chanting, hearing, worshipping, offering respect, etc. As described in the last verse of the ninth chapter, that process should be followed. Naturally, when one is adapted to the spiritual way of life, he will not want to mix with materialistic men. That would go against his grain. One might test himself by seeing how far he is inclined to live in a solitary place without unwanted association. Naturally, a devotee has no taste for unnecessary sporting or cinema going or enjoying some social function, because he understands that these are simply a waste of time. There are many research scholars and philosophers who study sex life or some other subject. But according to Bhagavad Gita, such research work and philosophical speculation have no value. That is more or less nonsensical. According to Bhagavad Gita, one should make research by philosophical discretion into the nature of the soul. One should make research to understand the self. That is recommended here. As far as self-realization is concerned, it is clearly stated here that bhakti yoga is especially practical. As soon as there is a question of devotion, one must consider the relationship between the super soul and the individual soul. The individual soul and the super soul cannot be one, at least not in the bhakti conception, the devotional conception of life. The service of the individual soul to the Supreme Soul is eternal, nityam, as it is clearly stated. So bhakti, or devotional service, is eternal. One should be established in that philosophical conviction. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, this is explained. Vananti tat tatva vidas tatvam jatkyanam atvayam. Those who are actually knowers of the Absolute Truth know that the Self is realized in three different phases as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Excuse me. Bhagavan is the last word in the realization of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, one should reach up to that platform of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus engage in the devotional service of the Lord. That is the perfection of knowledge. Beginning from practicing humility up to the point of realization of the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, this process is just like a staircase, beginning from the ground floor and going up to the top floor. Now on this staircase there are so many people who have reached the first floor, the second or the third floor, etc. But unless one reaches the top floor, which is the understanding of Krishna, he is at a lower stage of knowledge. If anyone wants to compete with God and at the same time make advancement in spiritual knowledge, he will be frustrated. It is clearly stated that without humility, understanding is not truly possible. To think oneself God is most puffed up. Although the living entity is always being kicked by the stringent laws of material nature, he still thinks, I am God, because of ignorance. The beginning of knowledge, therefore, is amanitva, humility. One should be humble and know that he is subordinate to the Supreme Lord. Due to rebellion against the Supreme Lord, one becomes subordinate to material nature. One must know and be convinced of this truth. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Salakya Chakshur Milinam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Svayang Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Svapanantikang Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsya Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Saganaranganatam Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sriman Rasa Rasa Rambi Vangsi Vatatastitaha Karshan Venusvanar Gopir Gopinata Sriestunaha. Srishila Gopinath, who originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore in Vamsivat and attracts the attention of the coward damsels with the sound of a celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. Hari Om Tat Sat. So it's a very important text. Prabhupada says that, says many, many things. Therefore, it's good that we keep reading these purports. I heard Prabhupada Maharaj, he can memorize, you know, whole sections of Krishna book. So I think he also knows whole sections of the purport. So it's good if we know these purports also by heart. Prabhupada says that actually from all my books the purports are more important than the texts. Yeah. Prabhupada says Yeah, the prophet says, as for actual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. Prabhupada also said, it's a little bit heavy, he says, people are very anxious to be famous for their religion. And consequently, sometimes it is found that without understanding the principles of religion, one enters into some group which is not actually following religious principles and then wants to advertise himself as a religious mentor. So sometimes our ISKCON is criticized like that, that we are a group which is not actually following religious principles, and that people are advertising themselves as religious mentors, but they are not actually like that. So here Prabhupada very clearly said one should have a test to see how far people are progressed, and he can judge by these items, Prabhupada says. So it's very, very, very important. Sometimes people say, oh, you don't know what is a pure devotee. No, you can know. Here's the test. Is somebody non-violent? Is somebody tolerant? Is somebody simple? Simplicity? All these items one can test. And if one wants to have a simple test, Prabhupada says lust and envy. This is the test. You can see by yourself and you can see by others. Is the person lusty? Is the person envious? Am I still lusty? Oh, yes. Oh, I'm not very advanced. Am I still envious of others? Oh, yes. Oh, I'm not very advanced. So we can see like that. It's not very difficult. And then we have a more elaborate test, and that test is given here. Humility. That is the first thing. First thing of knowledge, humility. Pridelessness. So it's interesting how Prabhupada he immediately goes to the essence of the verse, and he says he first explains about that this is not the interaction of the 24 elements. This is actually very important, and anybody who who's initiated should know the 24 elements. This is very, very important. And they are given in the previous verse. I'll just read them. The five great elements, that is Bhumi, Apo, Nalo, Vayu, Earth, Water, Fire, Air, Ether. False ego, intelligence. The unmanifested, that is the Pradhan, is here. It's called avyaktam, the 10 senses, and the mind, the 5 sense objects, and then there's more here, desire and hatred are kind of the opposites, no? You desire something and you hate something, happiness, distress, are also kind of opposites, the aggregate, the life symptoms, and convictions. All these are considered in summary to be the field of activities and its interactions. So this is also a very technical verse. There's no time now to get into it. But at least we should know the 24 elements, and there is a way to learn them. 5 great elements everybody knows. Even the karmis know. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. That is not very difficult. So then there is 3 others. They're more subtle. Mind, intelligence, ego, so that is 8. And then there is 10 sense objects, 10 senses, the working senses and the knowledge acquiring senses, and 5 sense objects, so that is 15. And with the 8 elements, that is 23. And then 24 is sometimes given as the Mahatattvat, or the Pradhan, or the soul. Like that, but generally it's the pranan or unmanifested. So the 10 senses are the eyes, ears, and the taste, eyes, ears, taste, and the skin or touch. And and smell. That is five. So these are actually related to the five great elements, and that is how you can remember them. So it starts with ether. Ether is sound. So sound is connected to the ears. And then air. Air is connected to skin, to touch. Then there is fire. This is also described in Srimad Bhagavatam, how the universe starts, Hare Krishna. Oh, okay, let me just go to the 24 elephants and then I'll stop. Huh? Well, the Prabhupada is here. There's three pujaris behind the curtain. Okay, I'm just gonna give you the 24 elements because you should know this. Okay, so you got the five elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether. So it starts with ether, and that is related to the ears, and the ears is related to hearing, and then you have air, is related to skin, and it's touch, and then you have fire, and that is related to the eyes. And that sense object is form. And then you have water. So the fire heats up and then you get water. And water is related to the tongue and taste. And then you have earth. And that has aroma and is related to the smell and the nose. So that is 5 + 5 + 5 = 15. Then you have the five working senses. That is... vibration, you voice, you vibrate the tongue, arms, legs, genitals, and anus. So that is 23 with mind, intelligence, false ego. You still following me? And then 24 is like the Mahatattva or the unmanifested. So pradhan, very good. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.
Any questions, comments?